Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Hey, folks, it's Rick Wilson. Welcome back to another episode of The Elephant in the Room. It's our show. Every Friday we come out and we walk you through what's happening behind the curtain, behind the scenes, and behind the smoke machine of American politics. I always try to find something every week that isn't quite the obvious, but that also illuminates why the obvious is happening. And this could easily be a show about the absolute collapse right now of Donald Trump's intelligence services. The collapse, the resignation over Joe Kent.
Sources are saying that Joe Kent, the former director of the United States National Counterterror Center, this is from Semaphore, he just resigned. He's now under FBI investigation for allegedly leaking classified information.
This anti-Semitic white nationalist who just happened to be in the administration running counterterrorism.
The White House was warned last year when the president nominated Kent that he had a history of embracing conspiracy theories, that he had some ties to white nationalists. Given that, why did the president nominate him to the position in the first place?
The president spoke on this a little bit yesterday in the Oval Office. He said he always thought Joe Kent was a good guy, obviously has a commendable military record and experience. However, he was not someone who was involved in the presidential daily brief, part of the president's intelligence briefings over the last several months. Have not seen him here at the White House for quite some time, and the president feels it's deeply disappointing that after the president gave him an opportunity in this administration to serve the American people, that he would resign it with a letter filled with falsehoods, accusing the president of the United States by being controlled by a foreign country.
Who knew? We did. Who worked for Tulsi Gabbard, who said, this is my red line. This is what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go and lie to the American people and say Iran was 5 minutes away from a nuclear bomb.
We can't just let the Iranians attack and kill our people.
Right.
But at the same time, we know if we go to war with Iran, this is going to be a disaster.
It could easily be about that. It could easily be about Tulsi Gabbard lying before the Senate today.
That the intelligence community's assessment is that Iran's nuclear enrichment program was obliterated and that, quote, there had been no efforts since then to try to rebuild their enrichment capability. Was it the intelligence community's assessment that nevertheless, despite this obliteration, there was a, quote, imminent nuclear threat posed by the Iranian regime? Yes or no?
It is not the intelligence community's responsibility to determine what is and is not an imminent threat.
Okay.
That is up to the president.
Here's the problem.
Based on a volume of
information it is precisely,
that he receives.
It is precisely your responsibility to determine what constitutes a threat to the United States. This is the worldwide threats hearing where, as you noted in your opening testimony, quote, you represent the IC's assessment of threats. You are here to represent the IC's assessment of threats. That's a quote from your own opening statement. And so my question is, as you're here to present the IC's assessment of threats, was it the assessment of the intelligence community that, as the White House claimed on March 1st, there was a, quote, imminent nuclear threat posed by the Iranian regime? Yes or no?
Once again, Senator, the intelligence community has provided the inputs that make up this annual threat assessment.
You won't answer the question.
It is the nature of the imminent threat that the president has to make that determination based on a collection and volume
you're here
of
to
information
be timely,
and intelligence that he is provided
here,
with.
You're here to be timely, objective, and independent of political considerations.
Exactly what I'm doing.
No, you're evading a question because to provide a candid response to the committee would contradict a statement from the White House.
It could easily be about Marquain Mullen, who played in the East-West Bowl, if you get that joke, up there fighting with Rand Paul about whether we should have dueling in the Senate.
In the days after the fight, you did many interviews in which you justified the violence as historically justified by precedents, such as caning and dueling. Is it today your opinion that the caning of Charles Sumner was not only justified, but argues still for resolving our political differences with violence?
What I was simply pointing out is some of the rules that still apply to this body. For instance, dueling with two consenting adults is still there. I was pointing out what
been
is still
illegal for 170 years.
Could easily be about those things. But folks, the more I've stared at it, the more I've parsed the problem, the more I've considered all the various inputs into what's happening right now in this war, it's about Jeffrey Epstein. He's still the elephant in the room. Folks, for about a year now, we have watched Donald Trump.
What did Jeffrey Epstein mean in his emails when he said you knew about the girls?
I know nothing about that. They would have announced that a long time ago.
And Todd Blanchard.
President Trump has said for years what I think everybody will find to be exactly true, which is detailing his relationship and lack thereof with Mr. Epstein.
Pam Bondi.
So who gave the order to flag records related to President Trump?
To flag records for President Trump?
To flag any records which included his name.
I'm not going to discuss anything about that with you, Senator.
Eventually, you're going to have to answer for your conduct in this. And you won't do it today, but eventually you will.
And Kash Patel.
You said you don't know the number of times Trump's name appears in the files, so it could at least be 1,000 times. Is that right?
The number is a total misleading factor. We have not released anyone's name. We have not released anyone's name in the Epstein files that has not been credible.
Director, could it at least be 1,000 times?
We have released every piece of legally permissible information.
Okay,
you can characterize the numbers however you want it.
Claiming my time, Director. It sounds like if you don't know the number, it could at least be 1,000 times.
It's not. It's not.
Is it at least 500 times?
No.
Is it at least 100 times?
No.
Then what's the number?
I don't know the number, but it's not that.
Before he ran away, Danny Bingbong.
The questions surrounding this alleged suicide are numerous.
Yeah.
And are worth entertaining and worth getting to the bottom of quickly.
What the hell are they hiding with Jeffrey Epstein? Why do they want to make this Jeffrey Epstein story go away so bad?
And I know that there are people out there who know things. Let's just leave it at that. And the Epstein story hasn't ended. But having said that, I agree with you. There's no need to theorize about it. As a former investigator, there's nothing wrong with asking questions. But I agree with you. Let's wait for the facts to come out. There'll be an investigation. And we'll see what happens. We'll all get an answer soon.
He killed himself. I've seen the whole file. He killed himself.
Do their very best to lie and obscure the truth about the Epstein files, the Epstein material, the vast corpus of information that the government owns and has in its possession about Jeffrey Epstein. So I used to be one of those guys who used to brag, I get 4 hours of sleep a night. I get 5 hours of sleep a night. And you'd be up heading into the morning, jacking down more caffeine than the human body could possibly tolerate. You live that sort of as an image. I did that for a long time. But as I've gotten older, I've discovered one thing about sleep. It is non-negotiable for me. Now, I brag about how much sleep I get rather than how much I don't get. Renee and I clock 8-9 hours a night at the low end. It's a trick. When you're younger, you could get away with that stuff and burn the candle at the proverbial both ends. But when you get older and when your responsibilities grow, sleep is not a compromise anymore. It's a necessity. There have been a few things in my life that have changed the way I sleep in the last few years, and one of them has been our Boll & Branch sheets. We were customers of Boll & Branch before Boll & Branch was a sponsor of this show because we love those sheets. They are made for unmatched comfort. They are absolutely unrivaled. These are breathable, soft sheets. They get softer and better over time. The way you think about rest changes as you get older. These sheets change with you. They get softer. They get cooler. They get better. I don't know how they do it, but it absolutely works because a good night's sleep is something that you can't compromise on. You need it, and Boll & Branch can help you get it. It's an amazing, amazing quality product. We love these sheets. The cotton is so soft. The fabric is so light and so wonderfully cool at night. We're both hot sleepers, so that's a big factor that it's helped us get the sleep we need every single night. Upgrade your sleep during Boll & Branch's annual spring event. Take 20% off plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com/Lincoln. Code Lincoln. That's Boll & Branch, BOLLANDBRANCH.com/Lincoln, code Lincoln, to unlock 20% off. Exclusions apply. See site for details. We were told at first it was just all on Pam's desk.
In February, I did an interview on Fox, and it's been getting a lot of attention because I said I was asked a question about the client list, and my response was, It's sitting on my desk to be reviewed, meaning the file along with the JFK, MLK files as well. That's what I meant by that. Also, to the tens of thousands of video, they turned out to be child porn downloaded by that disgusting Jeffrey Epstein.
Cash Patel told us, oh no, yep, there was no trafficking, none at all.
Who, if anyone, did Epstein traffic these young women to besides himself?
Himself. There is no credible information. None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday that he trafficked to other individuals. And the information we have, again, is limited.
So the answer is no one?
For the information that we have.
In the files?
In the case file.
Trump's name is only mentioned a couple of times.
Mr. Patel, does Donald Trump appear anywhere in the Epstein files?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
It's not a complicated question. Does Donald Trump appear anywhere in the Epstein files?
I didn't say it was a complicated question. I just didn't hear you, so my apologies. We have released where President Trump's name's in the Epstein files and everybody else, and all credible information that we are legally allowed to release has been released.
Todd Blanche went to Florida to cut a deal with Ghislaine Maxwell, which somehow she magically got sent to a club fed.
I do want to ask you about Ghislaine Maxwell, who was, okay, of course, convicted in 2021 for her role in helping Jeffrey Epstein traffic his victims. In July, you interviewed her in Florida, where she was serving a 20-year sentence in federal prison. Just a week later, Maxwell was moved to a more permissive prison camp in Texas. Why was she moved just days after you interviewed her, Mr. Blanche?
So that's a Bureau of Prison Security issue that I will not talk about.
Did you have anything to do with it? Did you have anything to do with it?
Let me finish. First of all, I am responsible for the Bureau of Prisons. So every decision that they make lands on my desk to the extent it needs to. But just let me talk about the security issue. At the time that I met Ms. Maxwell, there was a tremendous amount of scrutiny and publicity towards her and the institution she was in. She was suffering numerous threats against her life. So the BOP is not only responsible for putting people in jail and making sure they stay in jail, but also for their safety. And so she was moved. She is in federal prison. She was in federal prison before. She's in federal prison now. She's doing 20 years because she was convicted. And the fact that she was moved, she might be moved to another institution tomorrow if security requires it. And that's true of any federal inmate across this country.
And every time Trump has had the moment in the last 15 months now of his administration, 14 months, sorry, let's not exaggerate, to try to change the subject, he's tried to change the subject, but he can't. The center of gravity keeps coming back. It keeps rotating back into position.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable.
There is a powerful, attractive force of the Jeffrey Epstein story that this country wants to know the truth about. This country wants to know why. It wants to know how. The American people not only want it, they deserve it. And Donald Trump is doing everything in his power, assisted by the obstruction of justice being engaged in by Pam Bondi, by Cash Patel, by Todd Blanche. A couple hours before I recorded this, I read through the document that Dan Goldman was able to get a copy of that was redacted inside the Epstein files. He got a copy from another source. In it, Trump's attorney at the time, Alan Garten, I believe is the name, revealed a few small things, one of which was Trump never threw Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago. He was never a member of Mar-a-Lago, and Trump never threw him out of Mar-a-Lago. That even after that, he went to Epstein's home, flew on his plane. This is material that the FBI and the Department of Justice had absolutely no reason to redact, and yet it is still redacted in their official version, even the one they will provide for members of Congress.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to discuss this administration's massive cover-up of the Epstein files in order to conceal President Trump's involvement. This cover-up reached its apex last month when Attorney General Pam Bondi falsely testified under oath before the House Judiciary Committee. The Attorney General testified, quote, "There is no evidence that Donald Trump has committed a crime. Everyone knows that," unquote. This is a lie. In the 3 million or so documents that the DOJ has disclosed to Congress under the Epstein Files Transparency Act, there is credible evidence that Donald Trump committed a crime. And that, of course, excludes the nearly 3 million pages that the DOJ is refusing to turn over. Donald Trump is mentioned thousands of times in the Epstein files. There are multiple allegations that he sexually assaulted young girls. But I want to focus on one victim's allegations that the FBI unquestionably found to be credible. The DOJ tried to hide reports of 3 of the 4 interviews that this victim gave to the FBI, but pressure from the media and Congress forced them to disclose them. And now we know why. She credibly accuses Donald Trump of sexually assaulting her when she was between 13 and 15. In each of her interviews, this victim recited the same account of her interaction with Donald Trump. On August 7th, 2019, she explained that she was between 13 and 15 when she was left alone with Donald Trump, who, quote, mentioned something to the effect of, "Let me teach you how little girls are supposed to be." Trump unzipped his pants and put her head down, quote, down to his penis, bit the S out of it. Trump struck the victim and said words to the effect of, "Get this little bee the hell out of here." The victim advised that she bit Trump's penis because he disgusted her. She provided some additional details in the next interview 2 weeks later, and then a month later, she met again with the FBI and asked, quote, "What the point would be of providing the information at this point in her life when there was a strong possibility nothing could be done about it?" She didn't speak to the FBI again. But the FBI certainly found her story credible. In a 21-page PowerPoint presentation that the FBI made to prosecutors, they included this victim's testimony. They would not have done so if they did not find the evidence credible, which means that Attorney General Bondi lied when she stated under oath that there is no evidence that Donald Trump committed a crime. But we're just scratching the surface, because the Epstein files also reveal that Donald Trump has made false statements over the past quarter century about Jeffrey Epstein. We know in 2002 he called him a terrific guy and said, quote, "It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side." In a birthday card, 2003, that Donald Trump gave to Jeffrey Epstein for his 50th birthday, Donald wrote for himself that "we have certain things in common, Jeffrey. Enigmas never aged. Have you noticed that? A pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday. And may every day be another wonderful secret." But in that same year, Palm Beach County opened an investigation into Epstein that eventually was turned over to the FBI. The investigation became public in 2006, and the Palm Beach County police chief received a call quickly after from Donald Trump, where Trump told him, "Thank goodness you're stopping him. Everyone has known he's been doing this." What innocent person calls the police chief about an investigation upon just learning about it? The recent documents also show that Jeffrey Epstein emailed Ghislaine Maxwell and said, quote, "I want you to realize that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. Redacted victim spent hours at my house with him. He has never once been mentioned." Trump also denied that he ever went on Epstein's plane. But of course, the Southern District of New York said that he was on his plane 8 times, often with young women. The reason why this matters is because we don't have half of the Epstein files. And if the Attorney General is covering this up in such a degree, that she is redacting things from Congress, that she then redacting things from the public that she then shows to Congress. What else is she covering up? And I would just show that this document here was redacted to the public. It was unredacted to Congress, and it completely disputes everything that Donald Trump has said about Jeffrey Epstein, about what he knew about the allegations, about his disgusting behavior, about whether he'd ever been to Jeffrey Epstein's house, saying, "I may have been there with my wife." Asked if any young girls were there, no. He may have had children of guests, but that's it. Well, we know that's not the case. Now, why is this important? Because if the Attorney General is covering up this information that she then reveals to Congress, what else is she covering up about Donald Trump's involvement in the Epstein files?
Jeffrey Epstein is the elephant in the room because the degeneracy and the sickness and the perversion and the abuse and the rape and the pedophilia that Jeffrey Epstein engaged in was right there. And Donald Trump was in his orbit. Donald Trump was still hanging out with him. Donald Trump was still his buddy, even after he was convicted. There's a reason why the FBI wants to hide these things. There's a reason why the FBI is desperate and the DOJ is desperate to stop the discussion about the Epstein files. It's because they know the clock is running. They know the clock is running fast. There's going to be something cataclysmic in November. In the smallest scenario, in the most modest scenario, Republicans lose the majority in the House. It is increasingly looking like they will lose the majority in the House by a meaningful number, by a real number. It is increasingly looking like they could, still a lift, still not there yet, lose the Senate. If nothing else, the Senate will be much, much closer than it is today. They know this is coming. They get it. And Trump himself gets it. They know that Epstein is still hovering there. He's always going to be there. This is the thing that I don't think a lot of the MAGA faithful who still stick with Trump on this, who still are still with him on this, I don't think they understand this. See, they grew up in the last decade hearing one story about the Epstein material. What was that story? You know it.
All this red-handed crazy crap, devil worship, little kids in the photos, pools of blood, weird-ass stuff, the media defending that. This woman's a high priestess that follows Aleister Crowley. We found her writings. She says she really believes it. It's not art. Using the communist Chinese model, they say we're fake, that's it. Snopes, run by Soros and the Democrats, will decide who can be accessed on the web. Google Chrome's already blocking us. And then Drudge links to my article, Don Salazar's article, from Infowars.com, breaking it down. Facebook decide what's real versus fake news for users. And then it goes through the whole history of how they're really, you know, Democratic operatives. So this is what the whole Pizzagate thinks about. By the way, on Pizzagate, I can't even tweet an article about Pizzagate or a video I make. Everybody else can. Mainstream media can. But my Facebook will not let me send links that say Pizzagate. So I can't even respond to it and explain that it's a disinformation thing, just like the Russians hacking the election.
Hillary Clinton, George Soros, Barack Obama, blah, 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 Huma Amadi and Hillary Clinton, they're all part of a global pedophile, child cannibal, sex ring based in a pizza restaurant in Washington, D.C. That's what they heard. Over and 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 over again. Oops, wasn't true. And yet, the monstrosity that was Jeffrey Epstein, the monster who raped and trafficked young girls, was still there. His ties to Trump were still there. His ties to other powerful men in the business community were still there.
You say that she has videos, or she has knowledge of videos that exist about people. People like who? People, well-known names?
Very well-known names. You know, the government officials, the politicians, the royalty, like, you know, they were taping everybody every moment. When you walked into the New York mansion, to Palm Beach, everything was being filmed.
Do you think people knew they were being taped?
No.
No.
I do not. Not at all.
Giuffre alleges Maxwell and Epstein were blackmailing the wealthy and the powerful.
It never stopped. Epstein never stopped. Even when he was serving his sentence.
When a judge sentenced Epstein to 18 months, critics wondered if his money had tainted justice in this case. When he was sent to the county jail instead of state prison, it raised eyebrows again. Now, word that the registered sex offender, just weeks into his sentence, is allowed to leave jail on work release 6 days a week, has some judicial watchers shaking their heads.
From an outsider looking in, you say, wow. You mean he's not in prison? You mean he's allowed to get out for 12 hours a day?
Between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m., Fridays through Wednesdays, Jeffrey Epstein is allowed to leave his temporary home here at the Palm Beach County Stockade. Instead, PBSO says Epstein comes here to the West Palm Beach office of his Florida Science Foundation, an arrangement enjoyed by how many other convicted sex offenders?
That's been asked, and we are looking into that.
Critics expect the answer is none. Epstein began his work release on October 10th. They say he wears an ankle bracelet with a GPS device attached to ensure he goes where he's supposed to go and stays away from his victims. He has with him a personal deputy, whom Epstein pays for out of his own pocket. Regardless, some wonder how. Of the 20 people in PBSO's work release program, Epstein could possibly qualify.
Being a sex offender doesn't preclude you from meeting those requirements?
He met the requirements of our program.
He never stopped raping and trafficking young girls.
I was their toy to play with. I'd never meant anything more than a toy to them, and I knew I was replaceable. I talk about this ever-revolving door, the door that swings open and closes, and another one's in, and another one's out. I mean, there was thousands of girls coming through that door. I was just another one.
And all these people that were so comfortable with him.
The document showing that in 2006, President Trump spoke with Palm Beach police about their investigation of Epstein, saying, quote, thank goodness you're stopping him. Here's Justice Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
A newly surfaced record in the Epstein files alleges Trump told a Palm Beach police chief 20 years ago about Epstein, thank goodness you're stopping him. Everyone has known he's been doing this. And that he was around Epstein once when teenagers were present, but got the hell out of there. That contradicts Trump's claim he was unaware of Epstein's crimes.
What did Jeffrey Epstein mean in his emails when he said you knew about the girls?
I know nothing about that.
The White House press secretary could not answer if the account was true.
Look, there was a phone call that may or may not have happened in 2006. I don't know the answer to that question. What I'm telling you is that what President Trump has always said is that he kicked Jeffrey Epstein out of his Mar-a-Lago club.
Thank you, Chairman Moran.
Trump's Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick was also pressed today on his past with Epstein.
We had lunch on the island. That is true, for an hour, and we left with all of my children, with my nannies and my wife.
Lutnick acknowledged he traveled to Epstein's island in 2012, despite earlier claims he'd cut ties in 2005.
I don't recall why we did it.
All these people that were so comfortable with Jeffrey Epstein, they were not all child predators or pedophiles or whatever you want to say, but they were all okay that he had been one. They were all okay that he had engaged in this horrifying criminality. And it didn't take a lot to figure out that it was still going on. So Trump knows what's coming. He knows Howard Nutlick will be brought before Congress, and it won't be pretty. They won't be merciful. You won't have Jim Jordan or James Comer giggling and capering up there on the stage, asking questions about illegal alien, Juan Martinez or whatever, some rando. Because you know what? As much as the crimes that they want to bring up, make those the central story of our time, are horrible and deserve no pity and deserve no grace, because all those people who commit those crimes are murderers and they deserve to be held to account. But this is a story that is centered on Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, and it will not fucking go away. You can't hand wave this away, Pam. You can't plea bargain this away, Todd. You can't pretend the files are one thing and then redact them, Cash. Trump knows that the Democrats have learned something too. He knows they've learned something that scares the shit out of him. It's not that he's going to get impeached. Okay? It's not. But Pam Bondi is. Cash Patel is. Todd Blanche is. because they've led a cover-up that protects powerful men from the president on down, that keeps powerful men out of the jail. Let's not forget, they canceled an Epstein investigation during the first Trump administration. They canceled it again when he took power last January. Why? Why'd they do that? Because Jeffrey Epstein hovers over Donald Trump every second of every single day. Because the redactions and the shredding party that's gone on and hiding this evidence is going to slowly rot and creep out. It's going to slowly emerge. And as it does, there is no universe, there is no world that exists where Donald Trump's name doesn't get closer and closer to the monstrosities and the atrocities of Jeffrey Epstein.
So what we know from a couple different avenues, I reported for the first time today that 9 people familiar with material that has been provided to the FBI and to the DOJ in recent years, that specific material is not among the files that has been released. And so we know that it's a much broader potential amount of material that has been withheld. And specifically, some of those documents included Trump's name and allegations of misconduct. So it is a much broader thing than 1 or 2 documents that just by chance may have been mishandled or misplaced. The New York Times and other independent journalists and PR has done some reporting about a specific allegation against Donald Trump that involves a minor that was featured. Actually, it's the first mention on a presentation that the Justice Department, Trump's own Justice Department, put together last summer about notable people in the file that had allegations. So what we know from that, and those files are missing.
Right.
So what we know about that is that that's not some offhand, there's all sorts of tips that go into the FBI. But this is something that had clearly been elevated to a high enough level that even a year ago, the Justice Department is identifying it as important.
The people around Jeffrey Epstein, wealthy men.
The fallout from the latest release of files related to Jeffrey Epstein is spreading both here and overseas.
I am sorry. Sorry for what was done to you. Sorry that so many people with power failed you. Sorry for having believed Mandelson's lies and appointed him.
Britain's Prime Minister Keir Starmer apologized today for appointing Peter Mandelson to be his ambassador to the U.S. Files later showed Mandelson was closer to Epstein than previously thought. The World Economic Forum is investigating its CEO, Borga Brenda, over his alleged ties to Epstein. Brenda insists he was completely unaware of Epstein's criminal activities. And in the U.S., Brad Karp is stepping down as chairman of the influential law firm Paul Weiss due to his appearance in the Epstein documents, though he'll stay on with the firm.
Les Wexner.
Billionaire Les Wexner, one of the closest known benefactors of Jeffrey Epstein, says he was, quote, naive, foolish, and gullible for trusting the late convicted sex offender. The 88-year-old testified before members of the House Oversight Committee in a closed-door deposition yesterday. He previously led the former parent company of Victoria's Secret and hired Epstein to manage his money in the mid-1980s. In his prepared opening statement, Wexner said he cut ties with Epstein shortly after his arrest in late 2006, but the latest release of Epstein files show the two stayed in touch past then.
Leon Black.
And new at 10 tonight, national outrage from some parents after learning an associate of Jeffrey Epstein was indirectly linked to LifeTouch.
That company is one of the largest school photo providers in the U.S. LifeTouch is owned by Shutterfly, which in turn was acquired by the private equity firm Apollo Global Management in September of 2019, 1 month after Jeffrey Epstein's death. Leon Black, the former CEO of Apollo Global Management, is mentioned in the Epstein files. An investigation reveals Black paid Epstein $158 million for tax and estate planning services between 2012 and 2017.
A whole host of other people. They had enablers. Those enablers worked for big banks.
Fallout from the Jeffrey Epstein files has now reached one of the largest investment banks in the world, Goldman Sachs. The bank's chief legal officer, Kathy Rumler, now says she is resigning. In recent weeks, she has weathered numerous stories examining her relationship with Epstein over the years.
As lawmakers on Capitol Hill are now questioning an accountant who worked closely with convicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein for more than a decade. Richard Kahn's testimony is the latest of high-profile depositions of people associated with Jeffrey Epstein. Let's bring in CBS News correspondent Elaine Keano for much more about this. Elaine, what can you tell us about Richard Kahn's deposition so far?
Well, Richard Kahn is one of two executors of Jeffrey Epstein's estate. He's testifying behind closed doors on Capitol Hill, so no cameras inside right now. This morning, as Kahn arrived, a reporter asked if he was there to answer any questions. His attorney interjected and said yes. Now, just a few minutes ago, our colleague Graham Cates obtained the opening statement that Richard Kahn gave to members of the House Oversight Committee, and I just want to read a couple of lines here. It reads in part, quote, first, in the years that I provided outside accounting and bookkeeping services for Jeffrey Epstein, I was not aware of the terrible and unforgivable things that he did to women and girls. My relationship with Epstein was strictly on a professional level. And the statement wraps up by saying, quote, I was not aware of the nature or extent of Epstein's abuse of so many women until after Epstein's death. However, it pains me to think, and I deeply regret, that I may have unknowingly assisted Epstein in any way.
Those enablers work for big law firms.
Right now, another member of Jeffrey Epstein's inner circle, his personal lawyer, Darren Indyke, is being questioned behind closed doors from members of the House Oversight Committee. Indyke was instrumental in creating Epstein's complex web of businesses, trusts, properties, and legal teams, and is still the co-executor of his estate.
Those enablers worked for big PR firms helping Jeffrey Epstein.
Growing fallout over the latest release of the Epstein files, Hollywood mogul Casey Wasserman is selling his sports marketing and talent agency after his suggestive emails with Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell were revealed. Here's ABC's investigative reporter, Olivia Rubin.
Tonight, outrage over the Epstein files forcing a Hollywood heavyweight, talent agent Casey Wasserman, to sell his namesake firm following the release of his suggestive emails with longtime Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell. In a note to employees, Wasserman writing he had become a distraction for the agency, which represents thousands of celebrities, performers, and athletes. He revealed the sell-off is already underway, following the departure of Grammy Award-winning singer Chappell Roan and soccer legend Abby Wambach. Among those newly released messages, Wasserman, who flew on Epstein's plane in 2002 for a Clinton Foundation-led humanitarian delegation, writing to Maxwell in March 2003, I think of you all the time, so what do I have to do to see you in a tight leather outfit? Maxwell responding in April, offering to give him a massage that can, quote, drive a man wild.
Those enablers work for Steve Bannon.
Let me give you that. I know in my case,
Your money dirty money?
If you live.
I just ask a question. Is your money dirty money?
No, it's not. So, in fact.
Why is it not dirty money?
Because I earned it.
But you earned it.
I earned it legally.
We went back to this before. You earned it advising the worst people in the world, right, that do enormous bad things, and just to make more money.
These people are going to be called before Congress. Congress is going to use its subpoena power to get the banking records and the communications records that the administration, the Justice Department, is hiding, that Todd Bessent and the Treasury Department is hiding. What is done in the dark will come out in the light. That is the poet, sage, and philosopher Johnny Cash. Thank you very much. Jeffrey Epstein will haunt Donald Trump until his dying day. And he could do anything. Donald Trump could walk buck naked across the White House lawn tomorrow, and it won't matter. If he dies tomorrow or if he dies in 20 years, the obituaries will mention right at the top that Donald Trump was best friends with the worst child sex trafficker and pedophile in American history. They will mention right at the top that Donald Trump and his administration led a cover-up to try to protect himself and other powerful men from justice and accountability for the crimes that Jeffrey Epstein engaged in, and that some of them were either involved with, adjacent to, witness to, or knowledgeable of. Let's never forget, when Donald Trump was asked about Jeffrey Epstein well before he had been convicted. He said, oh, he likes beautiful women almost as much as I do, especially on the younger side. Especially on the younger side. Yeah, that's a commonly known quote that Trump gave. Everybody knows that quote. It's out there everywhere. Everybody's heard that quote 100 times. But you got to think about this. How present in Donald Trump's mind Jeffrey Epstein is at every given moment. How pendant the knowledge that one day there will be another leak and another leak and another leak and another leak and another leak. Because it won't stop. We received a curated edition of what the FBI knows about Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Very curated, very narrowly bounded, very, very carefully redacted, very carefully eliminated. And I honestly believe, folks, at this point, call me a conspiracy theorist. I honestly believe at this point that Todd Blanche or Pam Bondi, either themselves or ordering some other people to do it, have pulled out materials and destroyed them. I believe it in my gut and my heart. Like, I can't even tell you. I can't prove it, but I will tell you something. Those people, they don't care. They don't care about the law. They think Trump will pardon them for whatever they do. They think Trump will hand wave it away. Nope, you're pardoned. You get to walk. Ha ha. He hasn't pardoned you guys yet, though, Pam, Todd, Cash. What a buffoon. He hasn't pardoned them yet, and he might not. Trump could drop dead any time now. He could fall over dead tomorrow during the course of the campaign last cycle in 24. I talked to somebody after the election. I said, why didn't you guys in Harris World really just hammer the shit out of Epstein? You could have gone after that. You knew it. You knew the vulnerability. You know how much it upset him. And I said, well, you know, we didn't have much time. We wanted to talk about prescription drugs. We wanted to talk about blah, 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 blah. I mean, we've had to accept in our politics in the last decade that Donald Trump is the singularity of our politics. He's the black hole that sucks in all knowledge, information, and wisdom. He is the focal point of our politics, not because we want it to be, but because it is. And I've argued this with many, 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 many people, Democrats, Republicans, never Trumpers, who said, oh, we have to change the subject. We have to talk about this or talk about policy or talk about other heroes of the, no, it doesn't work. As long as he draws breath into his foul, jiggling, rotted, gangrenous carcass, it doesn't work. You know why everybody reporter's got his phone number? Because he calls them.
Go ahead. Red dress.
On the 2020 election, is there any more information on the special prosecutor? So many Americans still have questions about the 2020 election. And speaking of rogue judges, would you consider appointing somebody at DOJ maybe to investigate the judges that allowed for the political persecution of you, your family, and your supporters during the Biden administration?
I love you. Who are you?
I'm Kara from Lindell TV.
Well, it's just a very nice question.
And they call him because he's great ratings, great clicks. He's the center of our political universe. And you can hate it all you want. And I certainly do. Believe me, guys, the minute he croaks and gets to room temperature, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I want to be liberated from the horror of watching him destroy our country every single day. And I know you do too. But you should know there's something that's more of the singularity, more of a centerpiece, more of a black hole, more of a focal point that he cannot escape, he cannot get away from, he cannot look away from. He thinks about it night and day. He never stops grinding on it. He never stops worrying about it. He never stops wondering, is there a way I can do something to make this go away? If I drop a nuke on Tehran, would it make it go away? If I invade Karg Island, will it make it go away? If I lock up my opponents, will it make it go away? If I unleash ICE to try to stop the election, will it make it go away? No, Donald, the answer is no. It will never go away. Epstein will never go away. He will always be there. He is the unquiet ghost, and he will never rest. Because you know the secrets that you're trying to keep hidden that are in this material about Jeffrey Epstein. And you know eventually we're going to find it. You know, Donald Trump threatened to sue me about 8 months ago because I said the thing that MAGA fears the most is they'll someday find out that he's a pedophile. That's what they fear the most. Now, of course, he said, oh, you called me a pedophile. Well, bitch, if that's what the, how the, how the shoe fits that you get upset by, saying that people might realize that you were part of Jeffrey Epstein's pedophiles ring. If you think that the speculative idea that, that your people worrying about you being a pedophile is a problem, then you're running a big cover-up that made it worse, Donnie. Because whether you are or not, we know you are a cad and a thug and an abusive son of a bitch with women. But your cover-up isn't helping you change that reputation, Donald. Because Jeffrey Epstein is always the elephant in the room. He's the most consequential elephant in the room of anything about Trump. The corruption, the cruelty, the weaponization of government against its political enemies, the murders of American citizens. None of those things keep Donald Trump up at night. He sleeps like a damn baby, except when he thinks about what's in the Epstein files. And the accountability for that is coming, Donald. You can't stop it. And here's the better part, the part that gives me a little bit of a smile. When you're dead, Donald, all this material will be gone through, and it won't take 60 years like the JFK files did. And people will be released from the NDAs that you and Epstein have imposed on many, many, many women. And if you think you're going to say that you haven't put NDAs on many, many women, Donald, sue me. Sue me. If you think you haven't put any NDAs on women because of your abusive nature or your adulteries, sue me. Do it. But you won't. You know why you won't. And there's a reason why he won't sue anybody who talks to him about Jeffrey Epstein, folks. You know why? Because the discovery is impossible. We're going to have to wait until we have the majority to have that discovery. But it's coming, Donald. And Jeffrey Epstein will be the elephant in the room until long after your foul, rancid, disgusting corpse is buried in an ammonia-soaked grave. Folks, that's the elephant in the room this week. Really appreciate the encouragement for this show. It has been started out as a sort of a side project, but the numbers are up every week. Really, really, really would be grateful if you could go click the like and subscribe things on whatever platform you're listening to. This is both a YouTube video and a podcast across the various platforms. If you could subscribe or follow and all those, we would sure appreciate it. The algorithm rules all of our lives, and we must obey the algorithm. Folks, you can also catch me every week. I write at my Substack, Against All Enemies, several times a week, including the Friday Brief, which is a Friday newsletter just for our supporters and sponsors. And that is about a 5,000-word piece every week, analyzing some stuff that's going on out in the world, usually one big essay. We also talk about what I'm reading. And there's charming pictures of my beautiful wife and my cats and dogs and everything else around this damn farm we live on. Anyway, folks, you can also get me on Tuesday night's strategy session, Thursday night's The Breakdown, and Friday mornings, as always, with Andrew Wilson. We have America's best father and son polling show. It's the only one, but still the good one, where we talk about the polling and the numbers, the research every week that is giving us a clear perspective on what's ahead in our politics. Also, folks, pray for the lives and the safety of American forces who have been put in harm's way by this malignant narcissist jerk. They are in immediate danger in the Gulf and beyond, and they didn't need to be. All right, folks, thanks again. We'll talk to you next time, and thanks for listening to The Elephant in the Room. The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support The Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.